The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
Whoa, yeah. What's this, Bishop Bray? What's this, meeting? And Yana stream for the streaming room. And Timmy Pamini. Now I am saying, we're a day. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your majesty. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your kingdom that stretches from shore to shore, that is from generation to generation. Thank you that you are the God, the self-existent one, the one who was created by no one. And we thank you for this opportunity in the name of Jesus Christ to serve you. Today, we ask that you prepare our hearts as worthy receptacles of your word. Bless us and minister to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm preaching on the topic, the need to be patient. The need to be patient. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I have lots of favorite scriptures, and I will entreat you that after this message, you listen to it many times, even if it's 30 times, 100 times. Listen to this message and let it be part of you, because many of the things that you are seeking for are connected to this scripture. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And we read from verses 35 to 37. Our main focus will be on verse 36, but from 35 to 37. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Take 35 again. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. So the title of the message once again is The Need for Patience. Now, the Bible says that when we come under pressure, when we come under affliction, when we come under various forms of attacks, the likelihood is that some people may throw away their confidence. Their confidence which made them Christians, and their confidence in Christ which has sustained them. The Bible says that cast not away therefore your confidence. Don't throw it away, because you will need it. So you keep your confidence, you treasure it. What is confidence? Confidence is one definition of faith. So cast not away therefore your faith, your trust, your hope in God. Don't throw it away. No matter how bad things get, hold on to the word of God. It says, for this confidence hath a great recompense of reward. this confidence that you don't have to throw away has in it a big reward. In other words, it has answers, it has solutions, it is designed to meet your need. So when you throw away your confidence, you are throwing away your future. When you throw away your confidence, you are throwing away the breakthrough. When you throw away the confidence, you are throwing away the answers to prayer. And the confidence that you throw away today, you will need it tomorrow. So confidence is something you cannot throw away. It is something you must hold on to, no matter how discouraged you are. Discouragement is not greater than God. And a delayed answer is not greater than God. Confusion is not greater than God. So if you believe God, you must believe God to the very end. The Bible says, for we are not like them that give up. But we are the kind of people that believe unto the end. So we start believing and we believe unto the end. So we don't believe halfway and then throw up our arms in despair and frustration, and then we say that it did not work after all. For what I want you to understand is that your confidence in God will never be disappointed. Oh, let me hear a better amen. Your confidence in God will always be rewarded. If you believe that, show this confidence in a clap and a shout offering unto the Lord. Your confidence will always pay. Confidence in lottery may disappoint you. Confidence in another human being may disappoint you. Confidence in a political system may fail you. But the confidence that is in God will be a heritage that your children and your children's children will come and inherit. So hold on to your confidence. The economy may change, inflation may get worse, but hold on to your God. Can I hear an amen? I'm preaching to you. So the key verse that we're going to handle today is verse number 36 of Hebrews 10. And it says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. So I'm preaching it under three subsections. Number one, for ye have need of patience. Number two, after ye have done the will of God. Number three, that ye might receive the promise. So number one, for ye have need of patience. We must understand the word need. What does it mean? A need is a requirement. If you want to get to the university, there are various ways by which you can get to the university. You can do a professional course, and that may qualify you to enter the university. You can do an A level. You can also do a WASI exam, and you can do many other exams, including mature students' exams. In order to qualify to enter the university, this is a requirement. So if you have it, you have cleared the first stage, and therefore you are ready to be admitted. Need also means something that is necessary. Something that is necessary is something that is very important. So ye have need of patience. This patience is a requirement. Number two, this patience is very necessary. And number three, this patience is very important. Number four, this patience is almost mandatory. It's almost mandatory. If you are traveling, you need a passport and you need a visa. If you're doing an international travel, you need a passport, you need a visa as well. So that is mandatory, and you need an air ticket. So if you don't have any of these, you'll find that at the check-in counter, you'll be sent away because nobody will be willing to help you. So it's mandatory. It is mandatory to have patience if you want to proceed according to that scripture. This simply means that patience is not optional. It's not like an objective test where you have option A, B, C, D, and E. In the subject of patience, there is only one answer, and that answer is a prerequisite. You cannot go past it. That answer is needful, and you must satisfy it. So it's a need. Sometimes people may cry, but does your crying satisfy the need? Sometimes people may have sleepless nights, but does the sleepless night satisfy your need? Sometimes people may worry and be disturbed, but does it fulfill the requirement, that necessity, that which is important, that it which is mandatory and not optional, and that which is an essential prerequisite? If you are convinced about the fact that ye have need of patience, then you'll be sure that that virtue called patience is building up in your life. Because without it, it will be difficult for you to receive the answer. So, what is patience? And we'll go into a few definitions of patience. Number one, patience means endurance. What is the endurance? What is endurance? Endurance is that ability or power to go through painful or a difficult process. Endurance is an ability or power that enables you go through painful or difficult processes. So there may be a pathway that God is taking you. The Bible says God knew the popular way to have taken Israel from Egypt into the promised land, but he chose the other path and kept them in the wilderness until what he wanted built in them was built up. Those who did not qualify perished in the wilderness, but those who qualified went ahead to inherit the promise. I declare that anything that disqualifies you, may God disqualify it. May the Lord by his grace qualify you, that you meet the criteria that he has set, so that you will receive the promise and your life will glorify God, that it will be a testimony to many people. Can I hear an amen? You would realize that physical trainers would tell you, where there is no pain, there's no gain. And I remember we had a university physical trainer, and he would train us as staff and members of faculty. You know, we would do exercises once or twice a week after close of work. We would walk around the big campus, and it was quite enduring. we had to master stamina and finish the race. And you would hear this instructor at the back always saying, where there is no pain, there is no gain. Jesus suffered pain on the cross. Today he has gained the whole world, and he has gained you and I. Can you clap to God's glory? There is a pain of going through life. There is a pain of growing up. There's a pain of going through an academic system. There is a pain of rising through a place of work or in an organization. And many people who are not able to endure the pain fall out. And many times people fall out and try to rationalize and give reasons for their fallout is simply because they could not endure the distance. I didn't hear an amen. Oh, can I hear an amen? If you go to Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, it says, and we glory in tribulations. I'm starting from part B. It says, and we glory in tribulations also. Now, how can somebody glory in tribulations? The word tribulations, in short, means sufferings. So the Bible says we glory in tribulations also, knowing that the tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. The Bible says we do not give glory to God when all things are fine only. We do not give glory to God when the path is smooth and when things are all right. But the Apostle Paul says we give glory to God also when there's sufferings, when there are afflictions, when the challenges are bad. It is how we stand in the midst of it that also glorifies God. So the Bible says, "We Abraham, he gave glory to God." Can I beseech you by the mercies of God that with a shout and a clap, you give glory to God? Come on, just give glory to God. You may not have enough money, but give glory to God. The job you are looking for may not have arrived yet, but give glory to God. Somebody is mistreating you in your marriage, but give glory to God. You are feeling depressed and unhappy, but give glory to God. We glory also in our sufferings and tribulations, knowing something, that tribulations have been designed to work patience. In other words, where there are no tribulations, the people will be very impatient. Where there are no sufferings, the people will be very impatient. The Bible says, if your master has suffered, then you will also suffer. Can I hear an amen? So you must equip yourself in your mind that things are not going to be easy. Sometimes you may be ignored. Sometimes you may not be acknowledged. Sometimes you may even be persecuted and chased out. But remember that you give glory to God, not complaints to the devil. So he said, we glory in tribulations also, knowing tribulations work patience. Challenges work patience. Adversity works patience. Satan may want to have a hand in it to destroy you, but you have to learn how to pray to get the hand of Satan out of the business. If you leave it like that, Satan will push you down flat and may put his leg upon you. But you must know that the righteous may fall 7 times, but he will rise again and face the same enemy. Because you are learning patience. You are learning how, when the thing is delayed, you'll be able to stand. And the Bible says, and patience experience, and experience hope. And patience experience, and experience hope. What is another word for experience? Character. What is another word for character? To come to a place where you have developed the virtues that are required and you are constant in what you are doing. If you're looking for me on a Sunday morning, you will find me in church. You will not find me in the club. Neither will you find me on a golf course. And you will not find me in a little kiosk or in a betting company. Because you will find me here for some reason. Because God is building character in us. Can you put your hands together for that? If you are called at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m., what would you be doing? Would you be praying, or would you be fighting over leftover food? Would you be planning that when day breaks, you will go and quarrel with your next door neighbor? If we can't predict what you would do, then we say character has not built in your life. And it's important to appreciate the fact that if it's a midweek service, where would we find you if there are no reasons to be absent? You may build the wrong character in the wrong direction, but God wants us to build character in His house. Oh, so tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience or character hope, for hope maketh us not ashamed. When you have gone through the struggles and the crisis and the setbacks and the difficulties and the persecutions, and you have been misunderstood, the Bible says that you mature with the grace of patience. It comes naturally. When you see another person getting disturbed and not having peace and is having sleepless nights, you smile. A person who has been through that, when he or she is broke, does not get disturbed at all, because he knows that there is a door that is opening, and in just a matter of time, provision shall come supernaturally. Do I have any witnesses in the house? Pastor, they haven't paid us for the past 2 months. God has not created you to depend on salary, because one day the salary will be taken away and they will say that go on retirement. Have you thought about that? Ask the next person. The salary may be taken away and they will ask you to go on retirement. So God wants you to depend on Him. And God wants you to trust Him. A lady is going through proceedings in court. The husband took her there for divorce. And she has been so disturbed, very, very disturbed. You talk to her, nothing happens. And she saw her psychologist. And the psychologist started counseling her. This initial words the psychologist spoke is that you are building your life around your husband. That is why you are so disturbed. But if you build your life around God, you will not be disturbed. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Some of you are building your lives around your uncles. So the day things don't work, you get very, very disturbed. Sometimes a person may be taken away suddenly from your life because nobody will live forever. So when you build your life around a human being, you may be in trouble. But when you build your life around God, He will continually provide. Even when you are not there, He will provide for your children who are still alive. I want a more joyful clap offering to God. If you find a politician going from radio station to radio station, lambasting his own party, insulting the president and the vice president and the ministers of state, and he's talking about his disappointment, know that he probably was building his life around the political party. But one administration will end and they will go, and another administration will come in. So if all your confidence is in one political administration, then you are really doomed. Some have built their lives around their job, and they have all kinds of things, this perks and these allowances and this main, you know, monies that come to them and all that, and as soon as something happens on the job, then they cannot do anything. Some pastors have built their lives around their congregants because they are dependent on them for their provision. They have businessmen that they have put their hopes in, and as soon as the businessmen withdraw, then tell the next person, build your life around God. Build your life around God. Build your life around God. The people that complain a lot, they are not building their lives around God. So number one meaning of patience is endurance. Number two is perseverance. Perseverance is the ability to continue in a process without getting discouraged. Ability to continue in what you started. Ability to continue in a journey of life without getting discouraged. Perseverance also means persistence in something that you are doing despite the difficulty or delay. You are persistent. A person who is persistent is tenacious. When we talk about tenacity, we're talking about having a strong determination. There were Israelites that when they set out from Egypt, their determination was not strong. The Bible describes them as the mixed multitudes. They were neither fully Israelites nor fully Egyptians. They were mixed. So they were spiritual mulattoes. So these guys, at the least resistance, will group together and talk about going back to Egypt. They were the people that would talk about the taste of garlic and onions and cucumber that they used to enjoy in yesteryear in Egypt. They were the people that didn't encourage anybody. And if you have a friend, be wise. A friend can be discouraged, and you are a friend to encourage the person. But don't let the discouragement of your friend discourage you. In the book of Isaiah, it states, don't fear their fear, because you are likely to acquire and embrace the fears and the frustrations of others. And it's important for you to get to the place where you have a strong determination, you have willed, You have desired to follow God at whatever cost. You have the courage to face the giants in the promised land. You have developed some godly stubbornness and lack of water. Neither lack of water nor lack of food would dissuade you. For you believe that he that has promised is faithful to the end. So you hold on fast and you hold on firmly because you are growing in the grace of perseverance. Number three. Patience also means steadfastness. To be steadfast means to be firm and unwavering. Firm in belief and trust. Firm in adherence and firm in your loyalty. So you are firm and unwavering. You are firm in your belief and trust in God. And you are firm in your adherence and loyalty to the church and to God. The Bible says, for we have a hope that is both steadfast and sure. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, the Bible says, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain. So we said patience, number one, means endurance. Number two, perseverance. Number three, steadfastness. And number four, patience means constancy. What does this word mean? To be constant in this context means to be faithful and dependable. There's a certain reliability on you, and when you devote yourself to do a thing, you do it well. If you say you'll be there at this time, you are there. If you say you'll be there for that season, you are there. Constancy is a quality of being enduring and unchanging. The weather may change, but you don't change. Temperatures may change, but you don't change. Others may change, but you don't change. Because you have an enduring character and you remain unchanging. Finally, constancy means fidelity. It means loyalty. You are there in the marriage. You are there with your friend through the thick and the thin. You are there with your church. Whether there's progress or stagnation, you trust God to bring a change to God's glory. If the word is blessing you, why don't you clap to God? Number five, patience means ability to wait. Nobody likes waiting, especially waiting without end, and waiting when you don't know when things will change. This ability to wait is also a grace of God. The word wait here means to hope and anticipate and trust. So you are there, you are hoping, you are anticipating that things will change, and you are trusting God to take you through. The word hope in the Hebrew is kavah. Kavah is Q-A-V-A-H. Kavah. K Kava means to wait actively with anticipation. You are waiting and meditating on scriptures. You are waiting and confessing the word. You are waiting and praying. You are waiting and watching. So kava means to wait actively with anticipation, looking forward earnestly for a bright future. The Bible says those that wait on the Lord, those that kava on the Lord shall renew their strength. When you are waiting, you go through a process of renewal. You go through a process of regeneration. You go through a process where you are strengthened and enabled. If you are just sitting down and it's passive, then you get drained. You worry, you get disturbed, you get confused. You don't know what to do. The Bible has said that it's anybody afflicted, let him pray. Then he said, Pastor, I can't pray. Stop saying that thing. Open your mouth and pray. You can talk for half an hour about your problems, but you say you can't pray. I don't understand you. You can talk to 7 different people about your frustrations, but you say you can't pray. I don't understand you. Convert the complaints into prayer. And prayer is work. That's why the Bible says you must learn to honor those who labor over you in word and in prayer. So you complain for 1 week, 1 month, and there's no prayer, and you wonder why the events have not changed. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Patience brings renewal. Waiting brings renewal. Because you pause at a time, and we may call it retreat. It's just a pause. You pause at a time to refuel, to recharge your battery, to re-energize yourself, to reinvigorate yourself. So they that wait or kava upon the Lord, Isaiah 40:31, shall renew their strength. They would definitely, if they were weak, their strength will be renewed. If they couldn't fly, their strength will be renewed. So the Bible says, look at what happens when you wait. They shall mount up with wings as the eagles. Eagles don't flutter their wings and do pa 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 and struggle to fly. They just hop one and then bam, then they start sailing. Another bam, the eagle is higher than all the birds. I say, God is renewing your strength. And a little jump, God will raise you up. And a little, oh come on, a little flap of your wings, you are up and sailing above all others by the grace of God. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? They shall mount up with wings as the eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will run the race of faith. They will run with endurance. They will run with perseverance. They will not grow tired. They will walk and not faint. Pastor, I've been praying for 3 weeks. And during this period, we fasted and prayed. But Pastor, I'm worried. I'm discouraged. Did you wait on the Lord properly? If you waited on the Lord, you'll come out with some strength. Your speaking will change. Your confessions will change. You will declare that God is about to open a new door for you. God is ushering you into a new period, a new dispensation, and new opportunities are about to happen. If you cannot say this thing, you have not been waiting on the Lord. You have not been waiting on the Lord. You have just been there passively, non-actively. Nothing is happening in your life. Now, if we go back to the book of the Psalms, and in Psalm 37 is one of my favorite scriptures, because some of the things there just calm you down. But let's pick verse 7. It says, rest in the Lord. In another sense, it's a wait. Rest in the Lord. Don't rest in your economy. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Have you seen how to wait? You can wait angrily for him. You can wait impatiently for him. You can wait frustratingly for him. But that will not work. So rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. The word rest means to be at peace and to be at a godly ease. The word rest means to be refreshed or to go through a period of refreshment. Sometimes, like upripri uhundudu, you feel that it is by the multitude of actions that your prayers will be answered. You feel that it is by being a busybody that your prayers will be answered. But it is by waiting and by resting in the Lord, patiently in him. It is at that stage that you are at peace with yourself and at peace with your environment, and you are at a godly ease, and you experience a refreshment. The answer may not have landed on the ground, but you are so refreshed that if they say run for the next 10 miles, you'll be running. If they say there's a next prayer meeting there, you say, let's get along and pray. You may have prayed through the night, but you are ready to pray through the day because you are refreshed. Will somebody receive divine refreshment? The Bible says, he restoreth my soul. The soul can be battered from Monday to Friday and to Saturday. But one reason God has designed the day of the Lord is to refresh you, to refuel you, to re-energize you, to rekindle your hope. And refreshment is very important. As I'm standing here, I'm very refreshed. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. I'm refreshed through the presence of God. So I can wait. I can wait for whatever. I can wait. I won't rush ahead of God. I won't do Abraham's thing. I won't allow Sarah to suggest to me that let's use Hagar to produce the baby, because you will pay dearly when you rush. Patience is a subject that if you want to have miracles, you must understand and you must love. Look at Hebrews 12:1. Look at what was even said about Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that means people are watching us. They are watching us on earth. They are also watching us from heaven, the saints who have gone up. We are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight. The weight may not be sin, but it slows you down. An athlete needs to have light shoes, light clothing, and light everything. An athlete who has two mobile phones in the back pocket is not ready to break a record. So he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us, because these things have the tendency of slowing us down. God is saying that there are certain things that the enemy will use against you, and he will look at the area where he thinks you are weak, and he will hammer on that part. And there are the things that so easily beset us. And the Bible says, and let us run with patience, not with patapa, but let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In other words, let us run with hopeful anticipation. In James 1:4, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, or the trial of your faith, worketh patience. James 1:4. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Knowing this, you must know this, you must know it. That the trial or the trying of your faith worketh patience. Tribulations work patience. Adversity works patience. Persecutions work patience. Opposition works patience. And every time you are saying, Pastor, as for me, I can't wait. Pastor, as for me, it's kept long. Pastor, as for me, I don't. And you keep doing that. You keep doing that. You are prolonging your wait. If you have to be a traveler, you must wait. When you go to the public transport terminus, we call it was state transport. I remember those days that we used to travel intercity. You go and join a line. Then the bus that is designated for your place will arrive. Then you heave a sigh of relief. Oh! This bus is going to my destination. Then suddenly they will change the destination on the front and assign the bus to another place. Then, God is testing your patience at the state transport yard, at the bus terminus, at the coach terminus. Those of you who like to travel, you arrive at the airport, you check in. They say your flight is 11 p.m. Then you are there. They say, there was a delayed takeoff from London. So they will arrive 2 hours late. And then instead of 11 p.m., 12, 1 o'clock. So they arrive at 12. They have to clean the aircraft. And by the time you take off, it's 2 a.m. God is teaching you how to wait at the airport. God can teach you how to wait in your office and in your workplace and in your marriage and in life. But you have learned to be impatient at every stage, and everything bothers you and everything worries you. Sometimes you wait till God has finished the process, then you can testify and say, hey Charlie, we were delayed yesterday, so. But while we're going, you know what God did? So. The time I arrived was the time that my host also had arrived. Because if I had gotten there early, he would not have been there. Oh, come on. There is something about delay. God may be sparing your life. God may be using it to deliver you. But you are impatient. You are impatient with everybody. Some of you have your own time. as soon as pastor goes past a certain time, then you have uneasiness. But he who waits has godly ease. Oh. Are you there? So it says, know this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now it says, but let patience have a perfect work. Allow patience in your life. Shoe repairer, allow patience. Market woman, truck pusher, allow patience. Mason, carpenter, draftsman, pastor, elder, deacon, deaconess, mother, father, allow patience. There's a work that patience must do in our lives. If there's a life without patience, that life is like an unripe fruit. That life is lopsided. It's not worthy to be displayed. But let patience have a perfect work. And what's the reason? That ye may be perfect. God wants you to be perfect. And entire, wanting nothing. That ye may be perfect. And entire, lacking nothing. What does that mean? Perfect and entire means mature and complete. It's not the calendar years that we spend in a place that makes us mature. It is allowing patience to work in our lives. For some of you, as soon as you get to this office and something delays, you will blast everybody and come back and say, and I blasted them. Oh yeah, you have failed the test of patience. You will rewrite the paper in NovDeck. November, December. You failed the June exam. So get ready for the chief examiner to test you again in November, December. Oh, I was riding in the trotro and the mate was and I gave it to him. Oh yes, you failed. Oh, faili. What faili did thou? Because Wakuma edie. Wakuma soa. Ana. Wakuma ben. Ah. As it say. Mit edie eye. You have failed. I watch some of those people who come from abroad. They have gone to cultivate some impatience somewhere. Every system and the way it works. There may be a lot of faults about our system. But there may be also faults in the system where you are. If you get to our system, God will use it to teach you patience. So you have to respond patiently and talk about your rights patiently. He says, sir, I don't think I agree with what you are suggesting. You are talking. You have divergent opinion, but you are patient. So let patience have her perfect way, that you may be entire, wanting nothing. In other words, patience will bring maturity and completeness. Hebrews 6:12. Be ye not slothful, don't be lazy. But followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Some of us are following people who through faith and apashwemo have hit the heights on social media. Who through faith and crookedness have found their way to the top. But let's be followers of those who took their time while believing God and waited for their turn and waited for the intervention of God and waited for the answer of God. A landlord can frustrate you, and that he may be the tool to perfect your patience. Thank God for your landlord. He or she may be the tool to facilitate your patience. Sometimes they are used as catalysts to make you get your own. You remember the story I told you about that lady and the husband who lived in a house, and they were blessed with a car because they were given money to buy a car and bought a beautiful car, and they went to park it in the house where they lived with their landlady. Then the landlady got up, I think she was cleaning her teeth one morning, and come in bet you ain't here car. God is the one that orders your steps. He can bring you a car before a house. God can give you an air ticket before he gives you land. You are not getting what I'm saying. So the landlady was envious, and she said, as for she will not own a car if she was a tenant in another person's house. Uchukobila. This thing spared this lady and the husband. And about 5 years ago, they moved into the house. God will allow your landlord to talk some things. Some of you are so impatient. As soon as your pastor preaches something, then you won't attend service for 3 weeks. God is marking you down. Absent for 3 weeks. You will resit this paper and go through private classes, tuition, for 12 weeks. You do a resit. So be patient. Be patient. You see, complaining doesn't help you. It doesn't mean that, you are tough. No, you are not. If you are tough, you'll go through quietly. So, don't be lazy, but be followers of those who through faith plus patience have inherited the promise. So God is teaching us that it's possible to inherit the promise. It's practicable. The goals are achievable. But the same Bible is saying that you have to combine faith with patience, then you achieve the promise. You don't have to combine faith with annoyance. So the Bible says, for ye have need of patience. So I've been treating that one. For ye have need of what? Patience. So let's go to the second one. That after ye have done the will of God, after ye have done the will of God. You see how patiently I'm teaching. What does it mean after ye have done the will of God? God's will is God's wish. God's will are God's desires. God's will are God's pleasure. God's will is God's choice. And God's will is God's inclination. So his will, wishes, desires, pleasure, choice, inclination. In Matthew 7:21, the Bible says, not everyone who saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody who shouts, Lord, Lord. But, and listen to this part, very important. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. But he that doeth the will, do the will of your Father in heaven. Don't let any man press you to do the will of men, which contradicts the will of God. Don't please men at the expense of your heavenly Father. Don't compromise. Don't say, I will just be there. If you don't have to be there, don't be there. Doing the will of the Father is an essential prerequisite. Number one, to be blessed on earth. And number two, to enter the kingdom of heaven. So we need to do the will of God. For ye have need of patience, that after, not before, that after ye have done the will of God, what is that will that you are supposed to do? What is that thing that will bring pleasure to God's heart? What is that thing that will satisfy the heart of God? There are a number, and the list I cannot end by mentioning them in this message. For some of you, you've been praying, but the will that you need to move into is also to worship and to show gratitude and thanksgiving to God. For some others, there has been a strained relationship between you and some people or someone else. Some apology, some forgiveness, some obedience may be required. For some of you, you respond to everything because your heart is in your mouth. So the least thing that affects you, you will talk. But before God blesses you, He may want you to cultivate meekness, cultivate humility, and cultivate the patience of God. For some of you, you are working in the house of God, but the thing that you lack is prayers. You're not praying, you're not confessing the word of God, you're not believing God's word, you're not standing upon it. For some others, you need to be holy. You need to cultivate the fear of God and need to separate yourself like Abraham did from Lot. Some of you still send monies for the maintenance of your family gods. You say, oh, I'll send my money. Your money is you. Your money takes the character of you. So look at Cain and Abel. They all give something. Cain gave something that took his character, and God rejected it because He didn't like it. Abel gave something that took on the character of him, and God accepted it. So you may think you are sending the money, you are there. It's just like you are there. There is a certain fear in you that the gods of your family house will kill you. The Bible says, don't fear the one who is able to kill the body, but fear the one who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. For some of you, it's hard work, it's diligence, it's creativity. That may be the will of God for you. For some of us, it's walking in faith and obedience and in love. For some of us, it is being regular at the next service and at the next service and at the next church service. It's just being regular. So the Bible says, for ye have need of patience, that after you have taken good care of your children, after you have reconciled with the number of people you are quarreling with, the miracle will occur. I know a preacher who quarreled with more than 25 to 30 pastors. Anyone who left, he will insult him in the public, the pulpit, he will preach against him, and that's a bad seed and a bad character. Plenty. Then he got married, and then God was to delay some things in his life. Then he went round finding the phone numbers and the addresses of the people he had sent around, and said he was organizing a homecoming. God has spoken to him after 10 years of delay of a miracle. The people were so hurt they wouldn't be present. I remember somebody went and he waited for 15 minutes, say, come here, me, and he left. And this guy had to go back and organize another party and call it homecoming to fulfill the will of God. A year after that, the breakthrough came. Put your hands together. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, let's go to number three. Number three, that ye might obtain the promise. That after ye have done the will of God, ye might obtain or receive. Word of God says that ye might receive. Oh, is somebody hearing what I'm preaching? Oh, I didn't hear a solid amen. Are you in the house? So the third part is that he might receive the promise. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive. The word receive means obtain. It means provide for, carry it off. God will make you receive. He'll make you obtain. He will provide for it. The word promise here is a declaration that one would do or refrain from doing something that he or she has specified. So a promise is a declaration. I will do this for you. I will take care of your children. I will buy a car for you. I will finance your wedding. It's a declaration that one would do something or refrain from doing something, particularly to hurt that one, as specified. In the Hebrew, the word promise means sureness and security. So when somebody promises, it's as good as a security. God did not just promise us, but he established it in a covenant. He swore by himself when there was nothing else to swear by. The French meaning of the word promise means a guarantee or an assurance. So if you put both the Hebrew and the French together, there is a certain sureness or surety. There's a certain security. There's a certain guarantee. There's a certain assurance. Hence, a promise is a solemn pledge or a vow in reference to the future that I will undertake to do the following things for you. That's why God holds men responsible for the vows that they make. When the Bible talks about the promise, then he's referring to the promise that God made to Abraham, Genesis 12, 1 to 3. In verse 2, God says, I will make thee a great nation, Genesis 12. I will bless thee, that is the second one. Number 3, I will make thy name great. Number 4, thou shalt be a blessing. Number 5, I will bless them that bless thee. Number 6, and curse them that curseth thee. And number seven, in thee shall the families of the earth be blessed. I wanted to know how many promises are in the Bible. And somebody counted them and said there are 8,810 promises. 8,810 promises in the Bible. And listen to the next one. 7,487 of them are related to man by God. So 7,487 of the over 8,000 promises, God made it to man specifically. He says that I will turn your ashes to beauty. Isaiah 61:3. I will turn your ashes into beauty. That's one of them. If you look at 2 Peter 1:4, it says, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises. The promises that we have been given are not small. They are many, they are exceeding, and they are great and precious promises. Promises that relate to all aspects of our lives. He said that ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. So there are promises of God. Promises to lead you. Promises to guide you. Promises to bring you to your heritage. Promises to teach you in the way you should go. Promises to fight for you. Promises to secure your life and to protect you. Promises to deliver you from danger and to rescue you from the face of evil. Promises that if you have lost an opportunity, God will restore you. He will restore you twofold or sevenfold or both. Promises that he will never leave you nor forsake you, even unto the end of the world. Promises that he will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Promises that if you walk faithfully and obediently before him, he will let none of the diseases that came upon Egypt come upon you. But he will heal you because he's the Lord that healeth you. I said, God is the one who healeth you. I'm declaring a promise into your life. He says, when you serve me, I will bless your bread and I'll bless your water, and there shall be no barren amongst you. Is somebody hearing me? May your water be blessed. May your food be blessed. And may barrenness be removed from your household in the name of Jesus Christ. He says, when you serve me, your going out shall be blessed and your coming in shall be blessed. You'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the village. The fruit of your womb shall be blessed. The fruit of your ground, your job, your vocation shall be blessed. You'll be blessed when you go out. You'll be blessed when you come in. Coming to church, you are blessed. Going out, you are blessed. Leaving your house, you were blessed. And going back home, you shall be blessed. Going into your office, you are blessed. And coming out of your workplace or school, you are blessed. You are blessed all over. Blessed in the morning. Blessed in the afternoon. Blessed in the evening. In the name of Jesus Christ. Them that contend with you shall the Lord contend with. He says he will fight them that fight you, and he will make them drink their own blood. Somebody is not saying amen to the proclamation of the promises of God in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God is restoring the church. God is restoring his people. God is restoring your family. I'm not hearing an, is that the amen? In the promise, it is stated that when there's a declaration that is in your favor, you will shout amen. So I'm talking the word. No, 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 no. Some of you are sleeping. Some of you have eaten too heavily. I said, when there's a declaration that is in your favor, God will cancel the evil record against you. What was written in that office that you don't know about, God will cancel it. And God will bring a new record about your life that is favorable. He will raise somebody to speak in that meeting for you before you get there. The Bible says your righteousness shall go ahead of you. Before you get to the embassy, your righteousness is landed there. Before that interview for promotion, your righteousness will land there. Oh, young man, you don't need to go and rap a lady to marry her. If you have righteousness, it will go ahead of you. Jehovah will start talking to the lady before you get. I'm not hearing an amen, somebody. Oh, I like that. God bless you double, double. He says, I will give you double for your troubles. I will give you double victory for your troubles. If we understand the promises of God, they would drive us into intercession. They would change the way we talk. I'll be a father to the fatherless and a judge to the widow. Somebody wants to take what has been bequeathed to you and your children. Call upon the eternal judge to settle the matter. You're not clapping. There are promises that you must stand on. And they must be flowing in your spirit while you pray over any topic. I want you to know it's time to pray. It's time to pray. There is money hanging overhead. Your faith plus patience will bring the manifestation of the answer. There is a breakthrough. Your accommodation problems will be settled. The new car you want to purchase will be settled. Can I hear an amen? The expansion, the renovation you want to do over the house will be financed. I don't know how it will be financed. Your debts will be settled and canceled. They may treat you like they did Israel in Egypt, but the day you leave, you will get favor with the Israelite woman, and they will give you their gold, their trinkets, and their treasures. Israel could have been saying, oh, we have been working for 430 years and we didn't get nothing, but God had a plan. God has a plan for you. Don't curse your leader. Don't condemn your leader, but just pray for him and believe God that the best will come to you, and that at the last show, blow man ba prevail. Are you ready to pray? Please rise to your feet. This is not the time to hear a nice word. This is the time to start praying and start declaring in the name of Jesus Christ that God will bless little and make it much. That God will give me satisfaction and fulfillment in my heart. God will give me the fullness of joy. That he will give me peace. He will satisfy me with the rest. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, lift up your voice. Miranda ta Ribro poro no siste yebreke bedi lo poro do stiki nakataya ayebia so steketa ayebia ton no kotinga kata 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 Ashindere besia kata alua matu na kata 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 ayebi ya no soyo brosh telere bakaya imanda rabasia shanda rabakaya ayanda rabasaya
ramando kosota
shanda rabakia I shared in the woods the other time that there's a spirit that wants to take some people backwards. They're supposed to be going forwards. And I saw the spirit that although some people have finished some exams and have gone ahead and graduated, the spirit is taking them back to write the beginning exam. Today you must resist that thing, because that thing is not making you advance. Today God is going to change things for you. Oh, you are not saying amen this morning. Hey, come on, say amen to God's amen. Glory. Shall we pray? Makata ya brekata ya. Ayelele bekia sakata. Ya mia selele bakaya bre. Ayelele bakaya bre. Selele bakaya. Kiste brando do yekaya. Imandara bakaya. Li prakus dikite. Imandara bakaya. Zara bakaya. Ni kana ni rabashete. Ima kundi brikiya. Abaya selele bakaya. Li setu ni brikiya. Ayelele bakaya bre. Ayaba shanda la makataya. Ayelele bakaya. Li kori babundi brikili bri. Ayelele bakaya. Leticia, please come, let me pray for you. Each time I see you, I ask you, are you well? And your answer doesn't register with my spirit, but you make